J.P. Morgan has agreed to pay $290 million to settle a lawsuit alleging it knowingly benefited from former client Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking. I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we are going to tell you the latest development and whether we are seeing a new era of corporate accountability. Let's get started. Financier and convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein might have been found dead in his jail cell at the Metropolitan Correctional Center in New York on August 10, 2019. However, the demand for transparency and accountability of all his business dealings are still making headlines. The latest involves those corporations and businesses who knowingly still offered services or partnerships with the Epstein empire, even after his sex trafficking business had been exposed to the public. Epstein had connections to many prominent individuals, including politicians, business tycoons, and celebrities. And the large power of his connections is obvious, as seeking the truth and justice has been extremely difficult for those looking. The latest win for the truth seekers involves one of the world's largest banks, J.P. Morgan Chase. In a settlement, the bank is hoping the $290 million awarded to the victims will resolve the claims that the bank turned a blind eye to the disgraced financier's sexual abuses. In a statement, a public statement, J.P. Morgan said any association with Epstein was a mistake, and we regret it. Lawyers for the victims plan to seek up to 30% of the settlement amount for legal fees, court records show. And the victims' lawyers also represented Epstein victims in a similar $75 million settlement with Deutsche Bank, where Epstein was also a client. Even more damning was the accusation that Epstein's victim, Jane Doe 1, was sexually abused by Jess Staley, a former private banking chief and Epstein friend who maintained close ties with him. But does the dollar amount finally give the victims justice and, more importantly, encourage corporations to sever ties with nefarious businesses in the future? Well, to help us discuss, political analyst Garland Nixon, thank you so much for joining us on this latest development in the Epstein saga that just ultimately, we just want the truth. We just want the names of those that were involved in Epstein Island and what they're still involved with. Do you agree?
I do, but I think we want the deeper truth. The reality is, if we go back to Alex Acosta, to where this kind of really all started on a big scale, what we find out is that this was connected to intelligence. The first thing that we got was Alex Acosta saying, hey, I was told to leave this guy alone because he's owned by intelligence. And even when we look at the latest developments regarding J.P. Morgan, we find that Jamie Dimon's longtime connections go back to the same exact people who were sponsoring Jeffrey Epstein. So for Jamie Dimon or for J.P. Morgan to say that by happenstance they stumbled into this wealthy guy and they just happened to do business with him strictly because of, you know, they wanted to make a profit is absurd when you see the literally generational ties going back for many, many decades between the same people who put Jamie Dimon in power and the people who maintained the Epstein empire, all connected to intelligence.
There is no such thing as happenstance with anything tied with Epstein right now. If you still believe it, I have a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you for $5. So let's start with this settlement. Were you surprised that J.P. Morgan actually settled? And does this show guilt? Do you think the $290 million is justified?
Well, the bottom line, I think that J.P. Morgan had no choice, that if it had been $2.9 billion, they would have had to pay it because they cannot afford for lawsuits to go forward with the potential for people being able to peer more deeply into the relationship between the leaders of their country. Jamie Dimon, clear connections to Epstein. Jess Staley, clear connections to Epstein. They could not stand transparency, so they had to pay out whatever it cost. And if you look at the kind of money that J.P. Morgan has, this is pennies on the dollar to them.
So still, it's one of those that it looks like a lot to the common man. You and I would be probably, you know, definitely good set for the rest of our lives. But to J.P. Morgan, it's just a drop in the bucket. But what factor do you think the involvement of Jess Staley played in this factor of J.P. Morgan settling, do you think he possibly might just be a scapegoat?
No, I think he's probably a middleman. I think he may be Jeffrey Epstein's assigned handler, assigned liaison. Because clearly, if you look at the connections between this is not just business connections. There's a lot more to it than this. So they had to have someone who is a handler. And from the sounds of things, from what we see, Jess Staley has at least been accused of being involved in physical relationships with young girls or young people of some manner. And so it certainly appears that, I use this word reticently, that he got some benefits from this additionally. And keep this in mind, if in fact this is what it appears to be, some kind of a honeypot intelligence scandal, by giving Jess Staley these benefits, he's now caught in the web also, and he cannot afford to run his mouth should he ever feel the need to do that.
Well, I also have to look at Jess Staley being such a big power broker in the J.P. Morgan world.
Right.
And I have to wonder, and I mean scapegoat on one hand, but on the other hand, there's other people that probably were involved with Epstein that are also clients of J.P. Morgan. So
yes.
Do you think they're saying, you know what, you're already going to take the fall, you already have a public guy, shut this down before my name gets disclosed as being one of those in the little black book?
Absolutely. I mean, when we look at the way that the court has worked with them, that everything that we've seen to ensure that we don't get transparency when it comes to this case, this is just another instance of it, and clearly, if Jess Staley and Jamie Dimon at the very top are connected, then they're not the only ones that are connected, and they're not the only ones in the know. And I think my opinion, it appears that in some way, shape, or form, J.P. Morgan was helping to support an intelligence operation.
Are we ever, and I want to get to intelligence after the break, because
sure,
that's a whole nother beast on that side of it. But do you think J.P. Morgan in this, if they would have gone to a full trial, would have had to disclose even more than they were going to be willing to? So any amount of money was going to be worth it to them to shut this down?
Exactly. It could never go to a full trial.
But discovery,
yeah,
would be amazing.
Exactly. So they couldn't possibly do it. It didn't matter what the number was. They couldn't go to a full trial because the names that would have been involved would just be too high ranking, too powerful. And of course, J.P. Morgan is not just a bank. It's also a geopolitical power broker. And that would have eventually come into account as part of the discussion.
Well, there's been a lot of focus on the lawyers of these victims. They're going to get a large chunk of this. But at the same time, it's not only about the money, it's also about the information that we actually probably had a chance of probably getting the most information yet. Should these lawyers, if they were about more than just the money, I know that's hard to think lawyers not just
lawyers
about the money. Are you kidding me?
Here.
But should they have held out? They said, you know what? No, I want full discovery. I want those little black books. I want to know your client rosters, who put money in, who put money out.
Well, you know, from the perspective of the lawyers, they are sworn to represent their clients and get them the best possible deal they are. And if I'm representing a client and there's $290 million sitting around, who's going to say, no, just pass that $290 million up, we want information? No, I mean, I think the responsibility of the lawyers of their job would have to be to take that money before it goes. So yeah, just from
so you think the money's worth it? You think that's enough?
Perspective of the attorneys and their duty to act on behalf of their clients, you've got to sign that check when somebody
puts
it in front of you.
Then how else are we going to get this information?
Because what we're talking about, something different. Again,
right.
And I think it's the next segment. What we're talking about is how important it is for, if this is an intelligence operation, the people of the country who are being represented by this intelligence operation have a right to know, and the government has a duty to let them know.
Do you think that the lawyers deserve kind of the pushback that they're getting, the blowback they're getting, because they are getting such a large chunk of what they've invested in it? Do you think that maybe that they should be deserving, because they're getting demonized and saying, why are you taking 30% of this? This wasn't your issue. Why are you not doing this more for the common good of finding out about what happened at Epstein Island?
No, I don't think so.
They deserve the money grubbing.
Look, you know, if you're a car mechanic and somebody's going to pay you $100 to change a transmission, once the transmission is changed, it's your $100. They are doing a job as long as they acted on behalf of their clients. I will defend the lawyers because that's what their job. That 30% was agreed on. If it was $100, they got 30. If it's $1 billion, they get 300 million. I don't think it is the job of the attorneys, particularly in this case, to clear things up for the citizens, something that our Congress has a duty here for oversight that they are clearly not, not standing up for.
Well, that's an interesting one. That once again, that's going to go with security as well. I also have to wonder, how did this change? How do you think we would have it different if Jeffrey Epstein was still alive today? For whatever reason that, you know, that he went on, would J.P. Morgan still be fighting this if Epstein was still there? Or is this actually because Epstein passed and so we're looking for someone to give us answers?
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to answer that question because the reality is the two things, the problems that we have now and the death of Jeffrey Epstein are inextricably linked. The reason Jeffrey Epstein can't possibly be alive right now is because of the contradictions that you and I are talking about.
So then where does Ghislaine Maxwell play into all of this? I mean, she's the other person that knows the information besides the bank accounts and the people that were involved with it. Where do you think she rolls out in all of this? And why is it JP? Why are we not talking more about her in this settlement?
Again, because of the connections that she has. I mean, that she has to intelligence. If you look at Ghislaine Maxwell, if you look at her father, who had a book called Robert Maxwell, Israeli super spy. If you look at Ghislaine Maxwell, if she wasn't an intelligence operative, she'd be the black sheep in the family. She'd be the only person who isn't because her siblings are, her father were. So again, we get into an unfortunate circumstance where we're talking about the citizens of the United States and possibly other countries that'll go unnamed that have a right to know that their government is up to no good, particularly when it involves the sexual trafficking of what I see, young women. It could be young men also, but we don't know.
So we've seen the two banks. I want to focus still on this settlement. We've seen two banks settle. Are you thinking there's going to be other businesses, other corporations that are going to be held liable for their dealings with Jeffrey Epstein? Do you think they're seeing this writing on the wall and going, oh my gosh, are we next?
Well, I put it like this. I think you've got other institutions that are looking at their options for a way out, that are planning with their attorneys saying, if it comes to us, how much do we have to pay? How do we get out of this? Because I think we're looking in the same way that you look at a web of shell companies that people use to hide their funds for ill-gotten gains. I think there's going to be a web of banks that are used to reroute accounts and reroute money through to justify the amount of money that Epstein had when he really didn't work a day in his life.
Well, but that's the thing. We're talking about banks.
Yes.
But there's other things. There's electric providers. There's the water people. There's the water utilities. There's all sorts of folks who service that island that had to know something was going on. As a lawyer, is it hard to prove that? And that they continue to offer services knowing that something wasn't right about that island? Or they continue to offer any services, even grocery delivery, to Jeffrey Epstein after his first couple convictions?
Well, here's what's very difficult. The woman who started this case in the U.S. Virgin Islands, who was a government employee or whatever the case may be, she worked for the U.S. Virgin Islands government. 3 days after she started it, she was fired. She lost her job. So it is very difficult to do this when the precedent is set. If you go after these people, you're going to have some significant problems in your life. So yes, you know, when people feel like, look, I'm going to get paid to do a job, but if I run my mouth too much or ask too many questions, bad things are going to happen to me. People tend to keep their mouths shut. Hey, go turn on some water or fix the electricity and leave and don't ask any questions. And there's a bonus in it for you. That's the way the world works.
Wow. Tale as old as time, except now we're getting it in literally a live motion action. Live action as we get it. Garland, thank you so much for joining us. Stick around.
Sure.
Because when we return after the break, we're going to continue this conversation and look at if this could mean a new era of accountability in business.
I think Ukraine does exist, should exist, and it is precisely the best option, I suspect, for its future is to find that amalgam of the cultures that are within it and turn it into something unique and flourishing that that would define it in distinction, but not conflict, but simply the difference between itself and its neighbors.
Welcome back. I'm Skynell Hughes, and you are watching The 360 View. We are discussing the largest settlement yet for victims of Jeffrey Epstein, and if this could finally give us insight into his client list. Political analyst Garland Nixon joins us to continue this conversation. Okay, let's start. Before we get to security, let's talk about the business side. Do you think this settlement will influence the business community and their policies moving forward? Other banks will think twice before interacting with people who have been convicted, I don't know, of a sex crime.
Yeah, I do think that they will be concerned. I think that the people involved felt that they were protected in the same way that Alex Acosta said, hey, this is a protected by intelligence. So I think that people felt that they were protected. If you get involved with some chicanery and the government's involved, don't worry about it, you're going to walk. I think now when some of these more powerful corporations are approached by intelligence and said, we're going to do this, that, or the other, they're going to have more concerns. They're going to be looking out for themselves a little bit more stringently concerned that something could come out in the long run, regardless of whatever promises they get.
But Garland, here's what I find to be curious. We have seen banks stop doing business with customers over ties with Russia, or stop doing banks based on political opinions. Even during COVID, it was businesses that were staying open and not taking the vaccine. We've seen businesses in the past stop doing for one reason, political reason versus another, a social reason. Why did it take a settlement like this in an idea of sex trafficking, which is as clear wrong? Why is it taking this to get their realization when they've done it for other reasons?
Well, I hate to sound redundant, but because they felt they were protected. There's a difference between someone who acts and believes that there's some level of, they could be held accountable in some way, as opposed to those who have very powerful people saying, don't worry, we got you covered. And I think that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at banks. Let's not forget, when we look at these banks, when you look at HSBC, on, you find connections to drug cartels. You find, let's not forget,
And those are still out. Why aren't we stopping? Why aren't they stopping?
HSBC got caught laundering money for drug cartels. They went out and hired Jim Comey, brought him on the board, cleaned it right up, and off they go. So they know a lot of times they can buy their way out of this by high, just bringing high-powered neoliberal actors on board.
We talk about the separation of church and state in the West all the time. Maybe we need separation of the banks and government, but we both know that would be unrealistic, unfortunately, in government. Do you feel, though, if we do start seeing the standard, are we asking for trouble for down the road for possible allowance of discrimination by certain business, by encouraging business to interact with some and not with other, depending on how popular or how strong those ties are with government?
Unfortunately, I understand where you're going, but I think it's too late for that. If you look at what happened during the during COVID, such as in Canada, where the government said to banks, oh, well, you donated a few dollars. We had people literally donated $25 to the truckers, had their accounts shut down. So we see that the people in power will arbitrarily and capriciously use their power against the least of us, but the most powerful, for the most part, feel as though that they can act with impunity, and most of the time they do. This is one of the rare instances where, some sunlight actually hit what was going on, and people like you and I get to discuss it.
But unfortunately, it is just you and I. This is a bigger picture than this, because like you said, this goes back to security. So let's talk about Jeffrey Epstein and security. What country do you think benefited most? And when you say security, what exact actions do you think Jeffrey Epstein, what service was he providing to those in the intelligence agencies?
In my opinion.
And this is speculation,
right,
because like I said, it's hard to get this one confirmed.
We do know that there were a lot of cameras involved. We do know that there were a lot of very high-ranking, powerful people involved. It appears to me that this was kind of the classic honeypot, that basically they would bring people in, they would get compromising video and or pictures and information regarding people that they had no business being there with, and then ultimately they could influence their decisions at a later date. I would say that an operation of this magnitude was more than one country, since it was in the United States, and since admittedly a member of the Trump administration said, I was told by that this guy's intelligence in the United States. Clearly, the U.S. intelligence was involved. So you just have to ask yourself who would work with him. Certainly, the Five Eyes, you would have to basically this. Israeli intelligence, the Five Eyes, the people that they work with on a day-to-day basis, in all likelihood, were here getting the information they needed for their nefarious activities.
Why is there not, and I get it, you're literally asking the kid to investigate the cookie jar thief, but why are we not seeing large cries by politicians on both sides of the aisles? Because I will admit, I bet probably 60, 70% of those elected in office right now in Congress had nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein in any way. But why aren't they calling on both sides of the aisle for congressional investigations into ties of our intelligence with Jeffrey Epstein? Are you concerned? My fear would be it's because they know this is still a program being run in other ways.
Yes, definitely that. They understand the dynamics of power in Washington, D.C., and let's face it, what happened to Jeffrey Epstein? You know, who wants to people don't know. Literally, Jeffrey Epstein was put in a cell with a man named Nicholas Tartaglione, who was recently convicted for murdering four people. So they tell us we're going to look out for Jeffrey Epstein, we have to take care of him, make sure nothing happens, and they put him in a cell with a guy who's basically a mafia gorilla, who literally, he strangled this guy to death. The guy just happened to have four people with him, unrelated, so he killed, three people, so he killed the other three just because they were there. They put Epstein in the cell with this guy, and he committed suicide. So in viewing that particular scenario, if you or I were asked what we knew about Jeffrey Epstein, based on what we learned, we'd probably, regardless of what we knew, it would probably come out, I don't know nothing.
Right. Well, yeah.
I haven't seen anything.
But that's a part of the problem with this. And it's not just the West. It's not just the American. What other intelligence agencies? I mean, you mentioned Israeli and the fact that Ghislaine Maxwell's father was given this huge stately funeral by the Israeli government. And he was not actually a member of the Israeli government officially. So, which is unheard of before. Why aren't these factors being the front pages of the New York Times? Forget the government. Where is the media in covering this story and putting these issues on the front page of every newspaper every day until they got their answers?
Well, all you have to do is read a couple of New York Times stories and you get to the second paragraph and it says, anonymous intelligence officials tell us that fill in the blank. Turn on MSNBC, CNN, all of the above, and they have intelligence officials, former, retired, whatever intelligence officials saying this and that. So there's an incestuous relationship between the U.S. media, if that's the right word to use, and the intelligence agencies to a point where if they're told that's an area we're just going to leave alone, they're going to do it. And the people that they're putting on stage are literally intelligence operatives, so certainly they would work with their comrades to ensure that we remain in the dark about these types of actions.
So we talked about the U.S. intelligence, we talked about Israeli. What other countries do you think, do we have MI6? What other countries' intelligence do you think would have ties to Jeffrey Epstein and would find it beneficial to keep this client list off?
Well, since there was a member of the royal family who was intricately involved in this operation, he was from the other end of it in that he was accused, Prince Andrew, shall we say, he was minimally accused of being involved with young girls. Certainly, I would say MI6 would be involved. It would be reasonable to conclude that if, in fact, this is an intelligence agency, knowing that one of Jeffrey Epstein's associate was a former Israeli prime minister and that a member of the royal family is allegedly involved, those are the two countries that I would look at first. But again, if you look at, as an example, what happened with Crossfire Hurricane, we had Miss Food from Rome. We had Downer from Australia. So the Five Eyes is, I think it's one intelligence agency at this point.
Okay, so then going forward from this, we have a problem with trust in the media. We have a problem with trust in the government. Shouldn't both of those be working to prevent sex trafficking rings? Now we're looking at private business being held accountable for it. Is this a positive step, do you believe, in accountability, at least for business? And will we ever see that happen for government? And the truth of how strong the government was tied to Epstein?
I would say no, it's not a positive for this reason, because what we're getting is a shell game. What we're getting is, oh, we caught the people that did it, and this was just some bad people doing bad things. So the accountability would be to trace this back to the intelligence agencies and find out who was behind this and what it was, which they can't do. So you can't address an issue if you can't hold the people who are involved accountable, which we can't. We can have the mask of who is involved. Then we can go after Jess Staley, we can go after Bill Gates, whoever, people who were involved on the periphery. But those who actually, the puppet masters, are going to walk. And so, therefore, I don't see this as a positive development for accountability.
You would have thought $290 million would be a wake-up call, but I guess when you're as big as J.P. Morgan and you realize you still have a lot more to lose, you keep your mouth shut.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us, Garland,
Thank
on
you.
This issue. And we'll continue to follow. We will keep this in the headlines when everybody else isn't. I am Skynell Hughes, and this has been your 360 view of the news affecting you. Thanks for watching.